What up, everybody? This is Double G for the Fight Game Podcast. Week two of me being out of town. Last week, you heard the Q&A with Dave Meltzer. This week, John LaRocca and I are back. We're not talking about tonight's Dynamite. I don't even know if I would have watched it by now. Let's just put it that way, because I'm on vacation. But instead, we're recording, let's see, July 12th is when we're recording this. So if what we talk about, if some of it becomes slightly outdated when you hear this, sorry, I apologize in advance, but we're doing this pre-recording because I will be out of town for 2 weeks. Currently, I should be in Tucson, Arizona, hanging out with my parents. So that's what's going on. What we're going to do, since we're not reviewing Dynamite, John LaRocca, we're going to do a pro wrestling draft. You have actually run an independent promotion before, so you got a leg up on me. You definitely are somebody who looks at talent and wonders how to utilize them. You gravitate towards young talent, wondering how to grow their character. And so, thus, from this point of view, you got a leg up. But where I am fairly strong is I follow basketball, football, and baseball drafts. And so, I understand how to, you know, how these folks look at talent as well. Now, wrestling is a little bit different, but how we're going to do this is we're going to draft anybody and everybody who is in the U.S. Obviously, our thought process is to run a U.S. promotion here, and stuff like age matters, right? If you have a 38-year-old wrestler and that person has the same value as a 25-year-old wrestler, that 25-year-old wrestler is actually more draftable than the 38-year-old wrestler because you'll just have them for a longer amount of time. Fame matters. If you are a budding promotion and you're starting out, it's probably a good idea to get some famous people early on so that you can pack the houses, maybe get on TV. So that part does matter. That is a big part of wrestling that I think is, you know, with some of the fan bases, a little bit undervalued. They don't they look more towards, you know, who's cool or who they like in the ring rather than, oh, who's going to draw the most eyeballs necessarily. And since we're going with mostly U.S., there are companies that have folks overseas. So think WWE UK, think New Japan Strong. So there are folks on those rosters that are probably easily translatable to work in the U.S. Like, you know, maybe there's someone in WWE UK and you could think, oh, well, what if Vince was like, hey, we need you at NXT or we need you at Raw? Those people would probably be readily available to come to the U.S. With the New Japan Strong, sort of similar, they already run in the U.S. Some of the talent maybe it wouldn't necessarily work for you, but that's sort of in the calculus is, you know, if you only have, let's say, I'm even trying to think of somebody, you know, actually this person's not New Japan, but Takeshita is going to be here for a year, but then he's going to go back to Japan. So he may not be readily available in a year. So we're kind of trying to be as realistic as possible, but this is a game. This is supposed to be fun. We'll stretch it here and there, but you know, the idea is to create a promotion from scratch. And I will say, there are some people that you and I are going to overlook. I was on the internet trying to find every possible wrestler available for these lists. I'm guessing that I may have missed a handful. So if John and I did miss some, or if you just completely disagree or agree with our picks, shoot me an email at gg@fightgamemedia.com and maybe we'll read some of those on air the next time we record. Okay, John, before we start, do you have any questions as to what we're doing or what's possible or what's by the rules or not?
I'm good. I think we should let the audience know the official rules, like how many people are drafting.
Yeah, so you're a hanger. You have a hang up for even numbers. So we're drafting 32 wrestlers in all, 16 each, and then six tag teams. We'll do a second quick draft on the tag teams. So that won't take too long because there's not that many tag teams. But yeah, so 16 each, and I will let you choose. Do you want pick number one or do you want pick number two? I actually think pick number two is the easier pick to have, so it's completely up to you.
I'm gonna take. I'll go number one.
Okay.
I always need a promotion. Needs a top heel. I wouldn't push this guy as my top heel right away, but I'm gonna take MJF.
This is the part of this conversation is that. The other thing is, like, if you're a small promotion or if you're a beginning promotion, like, you're going to have some money to spend. Like, Tony Khan didn't come in and this thing broke, right? Tony Khan, his family is more rich than the McMahons. But you don't want to, like, break the bank immediately. And MJF, right now in his current contract, is so valuable compared to a lot of guys who make a lot because they make a lot more money than him. And he's an ace, right? He's a number one guy for the future. So MJF is actually a great pick. I'm kind of jealous of it, to be honest. But I mean, you know, my top two picks, because, you know, like I said, fame matters. It was either going to be Roman Reigns or MJF. And I know a lot of people will look at the Roman Reigns pick and go, wow, you know, people are so tired of him. Well, he reinvented his character a few years ago, and he is exactly what they wanted him to be when they pushed him to the moon. It's just that he did it as a heel. And secondly, there is an aspect of the most famous working pro wrestler today. Now, the downside of my pick is Roman Reigns' current wrestling schedule is not full-time. It is maybe not even halftime at this point. He's doing some TVs. He's doing some pay-per-views. And he actually did the Sacramento House show not too long ago, which was kind of funny.
They drew like 7,000, which is a pretty good number for...
Yeah, so there is a drawback to him, but I don't think you can play this game honestly and have him lower than number two because he is the top guy in the entire industry today.
Well, he was my original number one, but I really wanted MJF number one just to kind of have him. So I decided to strike early. So Roman Reigns is your number one. Okay.
Roman Reigns is my number one.
Well, looking at my babyface side, I need a good, solid veteran babyface that can cut a promo, that can work, that can tell a story, that people just absolutely love and ride behind. So I chose Bryan Danielson as number one, as my number one babyface.
See, that's interesting.
To start off with.
So, you know, let's let the people know, when you did run a promotion, it was called Premier, and the idea was that it was a wrestling promotion, heavy wrestling promotion, really good wrestlers. You booked people who, people who watch wrestling today would be familiar with. Jeff Cobb. People are familiar with Jeff Cobb. They would be familiar with Timothy Thatcher. If you're watching New Japan Strong, and if you previously watched some NWA, you would know J.R. Kratos. Our friend Dave Dutra was with you. So that is a very sort of high-level wrestling promotion. So Bryan Danielson, for you, makes a ton of sense as your number two pick.
And I know we didn't talk. I thought we might have talked about like our philosophies of what we want to present at our promotion. This promotion here called John Promotion. I don't have a name.
You got to bring it back, Premier.
I'm going to bring it back, Premier. Yeah, it's going to be your traditional wrestling promotion, but based on wins and losses, all that. So it's it's going to be wrestling forward, but of course we'll do storylines and all that stuff. You know.
So the great thing about this exercise is, your list and my list are going to be way different. Now, my list...
I don't think so. I don't think it'll be too... I don't think it's too off. I think I'll surprise you.
Well, no. I don't mean it from that perspective, because I think all of the guys who we pick, at least most of them, will be on each other's list. I think the order in which we would have chose them was a it will be a little bit different because I had Bryan Danielson further down the list for one reason. Okay, for two reasons actually. One, he's a little bit older. He's in his is he in his 40s, young 40s?
He should be like or maybe late 30s, whatever.
Around there. So that is one of the issues. But I think the second issue with Bryan Danielson, and I say this as he's my favorite wrestler going right now, right, to watch actually have a wrestling match. The concussion thing and the injuries thing would scare me a little bit. So that's why I had him a little bit lower than you did, is because I took into account, like, he's out right now and we're not even sure what's going on. So, but, you know, he's like my favorite wrestler. So he would have been on my list, just not this high. Okay. My second pick is going to be Hangman Page. And the reason why it's going to be Hangman Page is because he is not overexposed. He is a young... He's not... Age-wise, he's not super young. I think age-wise, he's probably in his young to mid-30s around there. But he had his first run as AEW champion. In the ring, he was really good. The thing that he wasn't great at from week to week, there were some weeks where he was solid and there were others where he was a little bit lacking, is obviously in the promos and in the sort of the presentation of him as a champion. A lot of times he was outshined by the person he was facing in the ring when it came to the promos, when it came to the buildup of matches. Danielson, Punk, they kind of outshined him in those buildups. But I think that there's just a, like, those are things that you get a good coach, you get someone of good veteran in the locker room who can help him with those things. I think the peak of Hangman Page, we still have 2 to 3 years before he reaches the peak Hangman. And I think that's going to be really fun to see. So he's going to be my number two pick.
That's a good one. He didn't make my list actually at all. I think I might have just passed on him because there's just other guys I thought were, for me, more valuable. But my number three pick is going to be the guy I'm going to build the promotion around. My first champion, most likely, and everyone will be chasing him, will be Walter. And I'm calling him Walter, not going to call it Gunther, sorry.
All right, so Walter is on my list, but again, a little bit further down. Now, when it comes to being a U.S. promotion, are you a little bit worried that his hit? So his presentation works for what Premier was. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to get on TV. Are you okay with sort of his very seriousness? You know, not long in the promos. He's short and sweet and to the point. He's a vicious, vicious wrestler. But he's not somebody who you look at and you go, you know, first segment, Gunther, go, where, you know, people are going to be super interested. Like, that's not his style. It's going to be, a lot of it is, most of it's going to be in the ring. But just his presentation as a sort of like an ass kicker is definitely there.
Yeah, well, my thought is, like, I want a credible world champion that is, some people that feels unstoppable. And they want to see who's going to be the next guy going after him. And I just want a dominant champion. And eventually my babyface, whoever I decide is going to be the babyface, is going to throw him, finally takes it down. So I would want a strong champion. And Walter, I think he translates to any audience, American, UK, Japan. He just has that presence that, you know, a lot of guys don't have today. So,
okay. My third pick. There's five guys sort of in this sweet spot, and I didn't have Gunther this high. I didn't have Danielson this high, so I'm actually surprised to see, or not even surprised, but just happy to see all five of them there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you, like, because, you know, some of these guys are going to be on your list too, and I don't know how high. Moxley, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Will Ospreay. Five guys in sort of the next wave after my top two. And for the sake of, I think it'd be tremendous for the first main program of my promotion, Fight Game Federation,
I gave it a rich name.
To be the Shield, John, this version of John Moxley. We're not talking about Dean Ambrose wearing the Shawn Michaels tank top. That's not the John Moxley I want. I want the current version of John. Now, I just told you that, you know, Danielson's a little bit older. That's why I kind of hesitated, but also the injury stuff. You know, I have Moxley and Reigns, and they're both in their older 30s. So those are guys for feuds today.
Yeah.
Hangman, and then I'm going to have to start looking for younger guys too, because you don't want just, you know, you want value of younger guys to kind of build up at the same time. But I'm very comfortable picking Mox here because I want that first feud to be Roman Reigns versus John Moxley.
Yeah, it's a good pick. Okay, my number four pick is going to be, I want to go younger here. And that's going to be a babyface of the future for sure, is Rex Steiner.
Yep. He was the next guy after that five that I had talked about. He should be can't miss. Now, I'm a little worried about his presentation in NXT. Mm-hmm. He's kind of doing the same feuds over and over just with new guys. Now, I've stopped watching very closely. So if people who watch very closely go, oh, it could be, it's not exactly, I get it. But I'm just saying sort of, you know, babyface, dastardly heel, he gets screwed, and then he's got to fight and for revenge, and it's just like wash, rinse, and repeat. And his you know, to be fair, I know a lot of people like the Cameron Grimes stuff, but there's no real guy that you think has a chance to beat him. And they tried that thing with Dolph Ziggler, and, you know, some people liked it. I didn't really like it that much. But I do think, you know, it's time. He's not to say he's losing good reps or anything in NXT. I'm sure he's still learning a lot, but I just don't want to waste him on this show that is, you know, it's floating there. It's not doing terrible. It's doing okay, but from a enjoyment perspective for me, you know, we've talked about this. I quit watching that show. It's just almost like, you know, how many people are really watching him? And I get it. If he isn't good, then you kind of want to hide him and you don't want him to be super public right now. But I feel like he would do fine on the main roster as long as they got behind him. And I think he should be up by now.
I think he's going to be up sooner than we think. I think he probably maybe after SummerSlam when things kind of, you know, they're building lots of SummerSlam. So once that's done, I think he possibly could be up. I would save him for the Rumble, you know, and have a really good show. He doesn't need to win it, but he can, you know, I think Cody should win that if he's ready to come back at that point. But I think he should have a Keith Lee like performance, right?
Yeah.
In that or a Diesel performance. That's what I would do with him there. But for me, like, just a future, along with MJF, just the future top babyface, future top heel. Like, I see those guys. I think MJF and him would be great together in the ring.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Okay, I am leaning Will Ospreay here out of those guys who I mentioned. I think, you know, there's something to, you know, he's still a New Japan wrestler, right? So the current schedule for Will Ospreay is most of the time he's spending time in Japan. So I would have to sort of be able to deal with that. But I think there's a positive to that because what it makes sure is that he does not become overexposed in your promotion. So it's actually good. Like, if he comes in for 3 months and he does some cool stuff and then he leaves for 3 months, then you're just sort of like, I can't wait for him to get back. And then all of a sudden, he's box office again. Like, you just kind of get these like back and forths and people are like, gosh, I can't wait to see that Will Ospreay guy again. Now, the thing about this is I probably took him too high, because I don't think you would have taken him within your next several picks. So might have been a bad pick by me, but you know, it was either going to be him or Cody. And you know, Cody has proven in his short stint in WWE that, you know, he is a really, really good babyface. So we'll see if Cody's available. But if he's available, I'm going to take him with my next pick. But that was my decision. Him, Ospreay, or Cody.
Nice. Yeah, that's a really good pick too. He was definitely in consideration for my pick as well coming up. But now for my fifth pick, after Walter and Danson have a classic series match, just like I know they will, I'm picking Brock Lesnar to really come in and the big match feel, right? The dominant world champion versus Brock Lesnar. I think that would be a big money match. And not worried about Brock not doing jobs. So all he wants is money. So yep. I'm not really worried about that. So nothing. Schedule's fine because he's a guy. I kind of like a guy that doesn't really overexpose himself on every television show. Yeah. Like he doesn't have to be on every episode that you have. So I think that just makes him more special, and it can really build to a big show, Walter versus Brock. And you could do something where you can have rematches out of it and stuff like that. So I like it.
That's actually a super smart matchup. Brock Lesnar versus Walter. Yeah, that's a great one. I knew that you would pick Brock much higher than me. So I just like didn't even really rank him. I'm like, John's gonna pick him in the top five, and I don't need to rank him. Like he's just gonna take him.
Just like you said, Roman Reigns. Like you need a draw, right? You need someone that's gonna sell some tickets, and Brock does. So that's why I got it. But I want to, instead of just doing it right away, I want to like build to it. Or now he shows up, and then,
yeah, your first pay per view could be Gunther and Brock, and Brock. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. All right. So I said I would take Cody. I will take Cody here. I think the thing that scares me a little bit about Cody now, the injury thing is a concern. That is an injury that, I don't know, I feel like it could be avoided. That's not a cool injury. You know, he's trying to, obviously he knows, I'm sure in his mind, WWE is the land of the giants, and he wanted to get bigger, than he was, and all that. I get that, but man, the thing that when I watch Cody Rhodes, like the thing that doesn't stand out to me is like, oh, good physique. The thing that stands out to me is the way that he looks and the presentation and the suits and the promo and the. Some of it is a pandering baby face, right? Mm-hmm. Like there is some of that. You know, he's got a lot of his dad in him, but the thing that scares me a little bit is in AEW, he was very hot, and then some of this is probably his own fault and his own booking. The fans turned against him.
Yep.
Now he didn't want to turn heel. I wonder if he was sort of thinking of himself as like the John Cena of AEW, like, cause he does a lot of stuff that John does as well. He's kind of for that company, right? He was doing a lot of stuff, as an executive too. And so I'm a little bit worried that come WrestleMania, when he does the pandering stuff and he cries when he wins the world title, and he did it for Dusty, and just the crying and all that. That at some point the fans turn on him. Now, sometimes you can plant that turn, and you can be ready for it, and just have him go heel, and I think that's fine. I just wonder if his heart is in that because he so much wants to present this version of Cody Rhodes like his dad would, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, I think my worry with Cody is once he wins the title, will they have hot enough heels that people still want to cheer for Cody? You know what I mean? Like people that I don't know. It's, I think once Cody wins the title, it might be the peak of it, but
definitely possible.
Just the way WWE is structured right now, like it just, no one's really over, so other than maybe Roman Reigns and Brock when he comes in. So, and we're getting that match again, and we're getting that match at SummerSlam. And
I know.
And I mean, honestly, like I don't care. I really don't care.
I was watching Raw. Now, I mentioned when we were recording this. Mm-hmm. And, I think they're running out of stuff for happy-go-lucky Brock. Like, thankfully, they have Heyman because he's so creative on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But Brock came out and this guy had nothing to say. He's just like, he's like trying to play with the fans a little bit. And I was just like, oh, thank God for Paul Heyman. Now, some of it is just, you're just happy to see Brock, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You're happy to see babyface Brock, which I am, because it's kind of cool. But I do hope that they really have plans, because it just seems like him being out there is going to lose steam more quickly than it did last time. And you know, he was hot going in WrestleMania. I really liked it. Yeah. But they beat him. They beat him very clean and very easily. So it was interesting, you know, how he had come back. You know, the one thing you didn't account for with Brock is, you know, when Brock is, you know, he's off for his 6 months, and then all of a sudden, you know, Walter, tears a hammy, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I just lost my main event. And Brock's like, hey, I'm here. Cool mill. I'll wrestle 3 more matches. Then you're then you're suckered in, because he's the smartest man in wrestling.
Walter doesn't get hurt too often. I know he hurt his hand. That's the last injury he had. So he's in great shape. So he's ready for the long haul.
All right. What's your next pick? So this would be pick number 6.
Yes. I'm stick with the babyface side, and I'll stick with the veteran. Early on promotion, we need some names. We need some. I need some good, strong babyface. Babyface that know how to be babyfaces. I'm going with CM Punk here. I think he's been doing fantastic stuff in AEW since his return to wrestling. It's been the highlight of the show for me personally. And I really need that. I like that older veteran, and he just understands the babyface game. And if you ever want to go heel with him, we know he can be a tremendous heel as well. So I'm starting early with some veterans, and I like that pick for especially number 6.
Yeah, I like it too. And the only reason I didn't go higher with Punk is just the injury thing to worry about. You know, he went from being full time to stopping and taking like 8 years off. And so some of that is, you know.
Oh, and his contract, you cannot jump into the crowd.
Yes, yes. None of that. And no mosh pits if there is a mosh pit.
No, yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, it's a strong pick. He is. So on the Q&A with Dave, there was a question about, you know, Tony Khan was asked, you know, would you ever work with WWE? And he's like, oh, I'm sure we'd be open to it. It's never going to happen. But I asked Dave, I said, you know, if you could create the biggest AEW versus WWE match, what is it? And he said, it's Reigns and Punk. Like, that's the biggest match that you could possibly make with the, you know, the forbidden door. But yeah, CM Punk, he resonates. The only thing that held him back for me just a little bit was kind of the worry about the long in the tooth there. But you could also look at it and say, he did take 8 years off, so that's 8 years off of, or was it eight? I don't know. Maybe it's less. It's probably less. It's probably like
seven.
Six. Yeah,
six or seven.
But also, he wasn't taking bumps for 7 years, right? He was doing MMA. Now, there's something to that from an injury perspective, from a wear and tear on the ligaments and stuff, but probably not as bad as wrestling, and he wasn't doing it full time. So that's a plus in his. All right. I'll just keep this one quick. Seth is my next pick. I just think he's so versatile. I think I would rebuild him as a babyface. Thankfully, I don't have Bray Wyatt on my roster to ruin him as a babyface. I think he is able to make things work that shouldn't work. Like, his current character is a pain in the ass to watch cut a promo. But he is so 110% in that I look at it and I go, you know what? I don't like a lot of this goofy laughing, but man, he really believes in it, right? And so if you got a guy who's like 110% in on what you're doing, that guy is so valuable. And again, good baby face if we remake him, good heel, but ultimately can work with anybody. Like, he's the closest thing WWE has to a day in and day out great professional wrestler, I think.
Yeah, he is a really great professional wrestler. Plus, for you have all three members of SHIELD.
Yes, yes.
So you could definitely...
That was part of my calculus.
You could definitely play off... I mean, that's what I would take advantage of that for sure. So,
All right, who's next for you?
I'm going to go with the young kid that I see as actually a future babyface, top babyface like that, but I'm going to start him out as a heel. And I think him and MJF would be a great twosome, and that's going to be awesome theory.
I was wondering where he was going to be on your list because now one of the, you know, we covered NXT for a very long time. And you were telling me before Austin Theory, you know, this is back when Austin Theory was doing the stuff with the sister, even before then, you know, when
The Way, right?
Yeah, The Way with Johnny Gargano and such. Mm-hmm. You were telling me, you're like, you know, this is a very good talent, good young talent. And then I watched it and I was like, okay, they're trying to turn him into a WWE guy very early on, so you know that they believed in him. They gave him a character. They had him do really dumb stuff, but he kind of did a good job with it, you know? He was like the airhead guy. He was like...
He's the meathead.
Jeff Spicoli from Fast... Oh, I just aged just big time by
great
saying
movie.
Fast Times
Timeless.
At Ridgemont High.
Timeless.
But, and so, you know, since you had mentioned that, you know, I've been a fan. I'm a little worried about this current push in that I hope that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that he just isn't the money in the bank briefcase holder because they think he can lose. That's my worry.
Yeah.
And so I hope that doesn't happen. But again, he was a guy that I knew you were going to take high. So I didn't really have to put him that high because I didn't think he was going to be available for me where I wanted to draft him. But the guy, I mean, if they believe that he's the guy for the future, I'm in because I think he's really, really talented. I don't know if the gimmick is great right now. It probably isn't that great, but he's doing good stuff with it.
Yeah.
You know, he's not being hampered by it necessarily, but I would, you know, if I was them, I would kind of change it a little bit, but yeah, that's such a quality pick, Austin Theory, who is now just Theory.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He'd be called Austin Theory again. That's what.
All right, I'm going to take my first female wrestler. She was going to be way higher on my list than she was going to be on your list, but I'm still going to take her because while, you know, the way that wrestling works today in the U.S., men, top star men, draw better than top star women. Now, that is something that you can change. Now, Ronda Rousey, we saw her... 2018, I guess it was 17 or 18 when she came in. She was a draw. She was WWE's, you know, her and Roman were the top draws and Brock. And then, you know, because she was such a big star, Becky Lynch took off because of that. So they have proven that you can draw just as well as the men. It just hasn't been as consistent. Some of that is the way that they're booked. Some of it is the way that they're presented. I think... I want my women's division to be very high quality, but also I think this woman is on the cusp of something, on the cusp of greatness. She was in The Mandalorian. She's been on college football stuff. Like, she is like bubbling, and I just wish the wrestling piece of this fit. I'm sure she's not Vince McMahon's favorite person to work with. I like that about her. Because I wouldn't be Vince McMahon's favorite person to work with either. I'm going Sasha Banks, and I don't think this is too high because I just think so much. Now, I guess the negative on her would be she's not the biggest woman, so you know maybe the injuries will be there. She's been injured in the past. But, man, I always hearken back to WrestleMania 32, which I was at live in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And let me be clear, there were not many great moments on that show. That was a boring WrestleMania. The one thing that stood out, and I mentioned this before, is they did that women's match. I think it was Becky versus Sasha versus Charlotte. Becky comes out with Snoop Dogg and that music, and I was like, oh my God. I think Charlotte's going to win this match, but they need to switch it right now because that entrance is not going to be topped. Charlotte won the match, but I was just like, that thing, like Snoop Dogg, there's something to her. She's got a star power. I don't think she's been utilized perfectly in wrestling, but she is, to me, the best women's wrestler in the U.S. right now, and she would be my pick.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good pick. I knew she would be your first female pick for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going my number. God, where are we at now? I guess we've been picking a while now.
We're at eight. We'll be halfway.
Wow, we're halfway there. Eight pick for the draft. Let's get eight pick, babyface side, another young guy who's really, really heating up, is another big guy, Wardlow.
Mm-hmm.
Wardlow versus MJF. Versus Austin Theory, Walter. Like, there's some good stuff we could do with him. So, is Brock Lesnar going to be part time? You know, not there.
Yeah.
Wardlow's you got to have on a consistent basis because he's still fresh and new and young. So,
absolutely,
go Wardlow.
Great pick. I had him in the next wave here. He would have been, you know, if I could pick based off of my list, he would have been in the next few picks for me. But yeah, just fantastic. And you know, the thing is what's funny about this is 2 years ago, if we would have done this draft, Wardlow's probably not in the top 20, right? He's below there because we didn't really know what he was. Thanks to MJF and the heat magnet that he is, you know, Wardlow is getting tons of cheers. We'll see what happens with him because I think they're being very smart with him. Have you seen this on Twitter? I've seen this thing with a lot of the women wrestling fans who are just like big time into him, and that's awesome. Like we need a heartthrob in wrestling, right? Where the women fans are just like, this is the guy that I want to watch. And he may be that guy because I'm starting to see that bubbling a little bit.
Yeah, well, I got the women thing pretty much handled. I got Wardlow. I got Austin Theory. You know, maybe some people are into MGF. I don't know.
Punk with a little bit of the gray beard.
Punk, yeah. Rex Steiner. You know.
Okay, so I'm probably taking this guy a little bit early because I don't even think he's on your list. But he's on my list. He is hopefully going to return to AEW sometime in the very near future. Kenny Omega. I think Kenny Omega still has that untapped sort of it factor. I think he's done a pretty good job in AEW. I know you're not a fan of a lot of the goofy stuff that he does in the ring and sort of in his presentation, right? As a heel, he's not like a Triple H like heel from back in the day. He's a little goofy. He's a little on the goofy side. You know, he's a video game guy. But I think there is an untapped babyface run by Kenny Omega where he has the 2000, was it 2018 or 2019 New Japan? Like probably both, right? Where like he is just, you just watch him and you go, wow, the way that this crowd reacts to him. Now, do I have a Kazuchika Okada on my roster to have that match? Probably not, but you know, I think there's still something left in Kenny Omega, even as he's in his upper 30s or whatever by now, and really, really beat up. You know, a lot of injuries for him, so it's a little bit of a risk for me. Mm-hmm. But I still think there's something untapped with this guy because I watched this dude, you know, just have a fantastic run in New Japan, and there was something special about him. The other thing I like about him is the way that they built this company. The Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody, Tony, Jericho, JR. Like, he's a big piece of that, and I think it's almost like because of who he is on the internet and because of people like Cornette who like to bash him a lot, it's almost like he's given less credit for helping jumpstart AEW than he deserves. And I think he's got a little bit of a fire in his belly. I've been seeing him kind of waiting, and he's kind of frustrated, and he's like, man, you know, these are my years. I think he's got 2 or 3 years in him of where he's just going to be, you know, he's going to be like Kobe Bryant. He's going to find ways to be mad at something, you know, so that he can perform the way that he wants to perform.
Well, I hope he comes back soon. You know, I know he has a lot of injuries, but, you know, I think he was just definitely added a big spark to that show, mm-hmm. for sure.
All right, so let's quickly count down. We're halfway through our top eight. So you went MJF, Bryan Danielson, Walter, Rex Steiner, Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, Austin Theory, Wardlow. I went Roman Reigns, Hangman Page, Jon Moxley, Will Ospreay, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Sasha Banks, Kenny Omega. It is pick number nine for you.
I'm going younger again on the heel side. A guy who I think is grossly been misused.
I think you're about to steal my guy, but go ahead.
He is so charismatic. He can talk. His work is good. I just wish they would do more with this guy instead of being stuck in a three-way tag team title match.
Yep, you stole my guy.
Ricky Starks. I just think this guy should be doing so much more than carry around a toy belt. Like, he is super talented. He just, when he's on the screen, you want to watch this guy, right? Like, I don't think anyone can be The Rock, but like, he has that, just that something about him, like The Rock did, has.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not as big as The Rock, obviously, but I think there's something there, and why they just haven't really went with him anything but just like to holding this title. I mean, maybe Tony thinks this is a big deal to be the FTW champion, but it's not, and they should be doing so much more. So Ricky Starks is my next pick.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. I know that we're both high on him, and I knew it was going to be a little bit of a tug of war. He would have been one of my next two picks 100%, but everything you said, I currently believe. Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ricky Starks, we know. I'm sure Tony thinks very highly of him as well, but Tony has tons of guys that he thinks very highly of. I was talking about this on a recent episode of, or the last episode that he did for War Live Pal with Andrew Zarian, and I was talking about ROH and how they could utilize ROH. In your opinion, is it better for Ricky Starks to kind of be in the tag, you know, in the tag spots? Maybe, you know, if he does get to kind of near the upper mid card, is that better for him? Or if they were like, you're going to be the top guy in ROH?
Depends on what kind of deal they have on ROH, what kind of TV deal is going to be. You know what I mean? It all depends on what kind of exposure is going to get on ROH. So I think they should just look at him more seriously as above the lower mid card, and he should be in the, you know, moving his way upper to the upper end of the card in the main event scene. I think he's definitely a TNT title guy. You know, I think he's definitely a long reigning TNT title guy. I think he's a guy that could feud with Wardlow and eventually beat him by some kind of shenanigans. So I'm not even liking what they're gonna have planned coming up. I've got an Iggy on some stuff, and I just not happy with what they're gonna do, and I don't think it'd be beneficial for him and another person. So I don't know, we'll see. Maybe this is what sparks a run for him. So mm-hmm. I'm rooting for him because he's a guy I really like.
Great pick. I've no problem with that pick at all. I think it's a great pick. So I jumped this person up ever so slightly because you haven't taken a woman yet, and I'm a little worried that this person may be on your radar.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be. I may be completely misreading this. I'm gonna go Jade Cargill next because mm-hmm. she is untapped talent. Now, will she ever get where maybe we see her apex? I'm not 100% sure that she gets there. It's possible that she does, and she just becomes this giant women's star, you know, just this physical specimen and great ring presence, and maybe she does become a pretty good wrestler. That is a long ways away, so I'm investing in her future here. But man, if she gets to 75% of what I think is her top, she's still gonna be really damn good.
Yeah, she's a really good pick. She's definitely shown a lot of improvement in the ring. I think I think she's the most over women's champion they have right now. It's still confusing right now with their two women's championships.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
like in the WWE. So
yeah.
But yeah, that, no, that's definitely a good pick.
All right. You are now with pick number 10.
I'm going to go with another veteran. I have a couple of young guys on the heel side, but I like the idea of the veteran baby faces because I just feel like there's no really good baby faces or guys that really know how to work baby face. So I really want, I'm really picking strong baby faces here. I'm going Drew McIntyre because that guy, you know, I don't think we've even seen it in the WWE yet. I mean, if he cuts a really good babyface promo, he looks great, he works great. I always like that guy, so I definitely want him on my roster. So I'm going with Drew McIntyre. I think he can just work with anyone, and he's super talented. So
we are in lockstep because if I was going to go with a dude, he was my next guy, and yeah, he's kind of it's really interesting because he's a little bit in the shadow of Roman, right? Like he can't be the guy that he could probably be with Roman Reigns being on the same roster as him.
Yeah.
And they tried with him, and unfortunately for him, it was during the pandemic where he got the, you know, he took the ball. And I just wonder, you know, you kind of run that back and if the pandemic doesn't happen and he still gets that title, because you remember that Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Where he was just over like crazy. And yeah, I really wonder what would have happened if for no pandemic. And I hope that he gets another opportunity because he's been a really good soldier in his second run in WWE. I know that he probably has some regrets about that first time. And being saddled, but he was still a really good employee. He did all that goofy stuff they asked him to do, and then he went out and showed that, you know, I'm a little bit more than what you think I am right now, and then they brought him back, and he's done everything that they've possibly asked him to do. So I do hope he gets another run, because he's so good.
Yeah, I mean, they have two world titles. I can see that happening eventually once they break those titles up. You know, with Roman, or maybe Cody after he wins it. I hope it's Cody that at this point, I think Cody has to be the guy that beats Roman, right? I mean, at WrestleMania,
yeah,
just makes sense.
All right, I'm going women wrestler heavy here only because when I watch Monday Night Raw, now we've mentioned this before in the show, I watch the Hulu cut, which is a 90 minute version of a 3 hour show, and I'm usually entertained by the show. Like they take all of the good parts and none of the bad parts from what I understand. This person is a joy to watch, and that is Bianca Belair.
Mm-hmm.
She is now, I wonder a little bit if that hair whipping thing is a little bit long in the tooth, but she had that great moment at WrestleMania last year with Sasha Banks. She had a solid run until the Becky thing, and you know, who knows about that Becky thing, whatever that Becky thing was. And then, you know, she's got it back after this year's WrestleMania. And so I just think that even though, you know, she's also in her mid 30s, I don't think she's very young. Like she's not young like, you know, like Austin Theory young, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I still think we have not reached what her peak is. So I'm picking her here, betting on that she has another level to get to and looks great, you know, super athletic. The athleticism is still there. And I think she is still learning how to be that champion, right? So I don't think this version of Bianca Belair is the best version of Bianca Belair yet. I think that's 2 years away.
Yeah, no, it's a great pick. I love Bianca Belair. I think she's a tremendous athlete. Her potential still hasn't even reached yet. I'm still waiting for that big program with Rhea Ripley in her, which
yes.
I hope comes down, you know, sooner than later. So
yes,
good pick.
All right, 11 for you.
All right, so I picked a lot of young heels. I need some veteran heels. And you know I got to go for my guy, Mr. RKO himself, Randy Orton. I need a general in there with these young heels. Teach them how to be, so when they're ready, you know, they can take over. So I like Randy. I like Randy at as a lower on my end on my heel side.
There are people who are kind of going like, really? Like Randy Orton, how long have we seen this guy? You and I are higher than Randy Orton than most of the current WWE fan base.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. I think he's been rejuvenated. I think the Matt Riddle thing has absolutely 100%. I don't know if it's made him fall in love again, like because he's a lifer, but you can see that he is having a much better time as a wrestler, you know, doing what he's doing now. Unfortunately, he's got the back problem, so mm-hmm. hopefully he comes back from that. But I'm so happy you picked here, because what it allows me to do is it allows me to take Riddle. And I was wondering if you saw Orton as a singles or as a tag, because we're going to take tags right at the end of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it allows me to take Riddle, because I had Riddle higher than Orton, mostly because he's younger, but it's not like he's a young guy either. He's also in his like mid to late 30s. But you split them up, so I'll take Riddle. We could have put them as a tag. I think they're an awesome tag team. Mm-hmm. But I do think if you're going to get the maximum out of Riddle, I do think he needs to be as a single, and he's going to have really good matches now. How much does he get pushed? There's a little bit of the, you know, the pothead aspect to this. Is he going to stay out of trouble? I would think so. I think he's, you know,
so
I think
far
he's
so
been,
good, Riddle,
yeah,
right?
He's been okay. Yeah. You know, he was in the Me Too thing, you know, that whatever you think about that. But the current version of Matt Riddle has been okay. You know, I'm sure there's, you know, he went through the divorce or the separation or whatever with the wife. So there's still that. So there may be something there. But yeah, I think it's kind of cool that you had Orton and I had Riddle in the next pick, and we picked them right next to each other.
Big question for you, though.
Yes.
Will it be called Matt Riddle or just Riddle?
Yeah, he's going by his real name.
All
Come
right,
on.
Good.
I mean, how could
I like this?
You know what I'm doing also? I'm not repackaging him, but when he debuts, I'm calling Uncle Dana. I'm like, I know you don't like this guy and he didn't like you, but I want to use some of this UFC footage because I want people to see that this guy is not just a goofball. Like, he has legitimate skills in the octagon.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I'm surprised they never, I mean, with the connection that WWE has with UFC, you know, you would think they would use this by now, right? It's just very frustrating. But yeah, great pick. I Riddle's was definitely a guy that I had on my list too, but I think it's a good pick. Good pick.
All right. Next one for you, number 12.
Number 12, I'm going with a young heel, a powerhouse heel, a guy I know very well, Powerhouse Hobbs.
That's a great pick.
And a guy that's not even been tapped. His potential hasn't even tapped yet. Everyone's been saying, all the experts, you know, they've been saying like, oh, this guy's, he's great. He's the future. He's just there still, right?
Yeah.
I want to see them do something with him. Maybe they will. And honestly, if you're going to keep Starks and him as a tag team, I think they could have been tag team champions by now. You know?
Well, I mean, you could keep them as a tag that works together sometimes, and they also mm-hmm. work singles, but they got each other's back. And
yeah, exactly.
That stuff works in wrestling. Okay, so here's a question for you, because when you did Premiere, as far as I remember, I don't think Will Hobbs worked Premiere. Was it because of his style was a little bit more of like a brawler, and you were looking for a little bit more of like a grappler? Was it because you know, you were in Gilroy? Like what was the reason for not booking Hobbs?
Well, he was kind of, I think, in a different headspace at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the wrong advice from some wrong people, and like, he was working a lot more down south than he was up north at the time. And so I was worried about a commitment thing than actually his talent. So when I went back to APW to help book APW with Marcus Mack, he's definitely, you know, he got away from that, the negative influence, and totally different person. And the kid I remember when he was a skinny little kid coming up in APW. So definitely, I mean, if it was the Will Hobbs that I knew when I you know, then I definitely would have booked him. But unfortunately, I just, you know, I didn't reach out, and he wasn't really working a lot of updates up here. So I was like, maybe it's not going to be more of a headache than it's worth. But, mm-hmm. you know, so, but always liked Will, always easy to work with, at least from my experience. So.
It is awesome. He's a Bay Area guy, and you know we root for those guys, and it's great mm-hmm. to see him on TV every week. It's cool because I think I mentioned this before on this show, but every time I would go with you, you know, we'd sort of walk around and I'd be in the back, and he was so polite every single time and just thank me for being there. And I'm like, God, what a nice dude. Like, I'm just here to hang out with John and watch some wrestling. But he, you know, he just thanked me for being there. I thought that was always so cool.
Yeah, he's a talented kid. And I just I want them to get behind. I know. And Tony is Tony Collins' project. I mean, Cody brought him in and Tony saw him and is like, okay, I want it. You know, this is my guy, you know. So and he signed him. So. I'm still waiting for something to happen, though. You know, like he's there, but come on.
Do you
on,
think
Tony.
He's Tony's guy, or do you think he's Cody's guy?
He was Tony's guy, apparently, from what I understand. Tony saw him and just said, "He's like, you know, my guy." So we'll see.
Okay, so I am going to round out the top of my women's division with someone you mentioned who could feud with Bianca Belair, and that is Rhea Ripley. It sounds like you've punted the women's division here. You may have punted all. You're going New Japan on us. No women's division.
And nothing against the women. I love women's wrestling. And if I was going to have women's wrestlers, it would have been, you know, Rhea, Sasha, Bianca, Charlotte, you know, Io. You know,
yeah, so that's why I didn't rank Io, because I thought I'm like, if he takes someone number one, it may be Io. Yeah. So what this means, though, is I'm probably not taking Charlotte in my top 16, and I'm probably also not taking Toni Storm in my top 16. She was kind of bubbling there at the end of, you know, maybe the end of my draft, but I have my four. I've got my two top feuds. I've got Sasha and Jade, or Sasha and Bianca and Jade and Rhea. So I've got four. I've got my two top matches there, so I will sort of leave some of the women for the end if we were to continue doing this. But yeah, me taking Rhea means I'm not taking Charlotte. I had them kind of like right next to each other, and I'm like, nope, got to go young, got to go with the one who hopefully she's okay, because I understand that she's injured, but
yeah,
got to go with the younger one who, you know, who's kind of, you know, in the beginning of her career here.
Yeah, I figure I'm going to start with the men, and if I want to add a women's division, I can add a women's division later, and it'll feel more special too. Like, oh, there's going to be a new women's division, you know, like you can promote that. And
well, that's kind of how you did with the premiere, right? Because you didn't really have women's matches until what it was like later in the run.
Yeah. Well, I did try out a women's match, and it was okay. But then when Shayna started wrestling, you know, I think I booked her like in her second. Oops, sorry about that.
Yeah, second match. She was in Reno.
Second match. Yeah. So, you know, Shane, I was a fan of hers, just being a fan of mixed martial arts. And I know she was a huge wrestling fan. I said, you know, Premier kind of makes, you know, fits her style and things all worked out. And I'm so glad I did that, because, you know, she's a great person. So,
all right, pick number 13 for you. We have four more each.
I know you took a lot of my heels that I have. I'm gonna go with another veteran. He's in his 40s, young 40s, but he's so good. He's one of the best wrestlers out there still. If they really put him in a top position, I don't know what he's doing these days, but AJ Styles.
Interesting.
I enjoy his work, and I think he could definitely work with these young guys like MJF, and a perfect guy for MJF to originally feud with, you know, like a credible veteran babyface like AJ Styles to lose to, put over MJF.
That is, I will say, I specifically took him off of my list because, not to say that I wonder how long he is for the business, but it's almost like Vince right now is putting him in feuds like the Edge thing. Mm-hmm. Now he's in a feud with The Miz. It's just like he's just there to be, you know, be on the card. He's still on the card. He's still on TV. Yeah. But I don't know. I wonder if they've kind of, if Vince has sort of given up on him as like a top guy.
Yeah, he's 45, which is shockingly, because you don't think he's, you don't think he's, you know, 45 years old, right?
Well, but, you have immediately the match that I would want to see from with AJ Styles is Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I mean, you could do so much with him. And, you know, starting off, you got to start off with some veterans, some people that are going to draw. And I figure, you know, that's what they're there. They're there to lay the groundwork like veterans do. And then that's when you, if you do your job correctly, that's when the young guys can take over, right? So,
yes. All right. My next pick is, I think it makes sense for my roster. And it makes sense if you listen to this podcast, you know, several months ago, Swerve Strickland, when he was Swerve Scott, Hit Row, I was such a fan. I thought they were the most authentic hip-hop related act in the history of professional wrestling, which is not a hard list to be number one on. You know,
Enemy didn't make your list?
No, not at all. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, if there was a moment where Chuck D and Flava Flav actually got in the ring, then I would say okay, but not if you're not the Public Enemy that you're talking about. But I would figure out a way to redo Hit Row. Now it doesn't have to be the same threesome, right? It could be other folks that maybe Swerve is close with. But even this tag team with Keith Lee, I would say I'm a little bit underwhelmed because Keith Lee doesn't have that swagger that Swerve does. Keith Lee just looks like a big teddy bear. Like, he just looks like a really like nice guy, right? And Swerve has got like this swagger. Swerve is like someone who, you know, he's going to be wheeling and dealing and trying. You know, he was on the red carpet on, I think, at the Grammys. He's going to be in there. He's going to be in the mix. He's going to, he just has that star potential. And he would, you know, he would be the guy. I would just go, okay, what do you want to do? How do you want to present this thing? And let's go. And you know, you have the creative on this because I want this thing to be authentic.
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, Hit Row, that was a great group that never did anything, right? That they should have done. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Good pick.
All right. Number, is this the last one? No, we're at 14. 14. Sorry.
All right, so like I said, he took a lot of my heels. I'm gonna go with a guy that's not in AEW, not in WWE, so he has been exposed on national television. He's an older guy. He looks great. Looks like $1 million these days. I'm going with Impact Wrestling. This is gonna make Mike Gilbert happy.
There you go, and JD, yeah, and Mike JD.
And JD, of course. I'm going with Moose.
Wow. Moose.
Yeah.
I will say that is maybe the first one that I've been really, really, really surprised about.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I had him, but on the Impact side, the guy that I would have drafted ahead of him would have been Josh Alexander. I would have drafted Josh before I drafted Moose, but Moose would have probably been the next guy on the list.
I think bell to bell, Josh is definitely better in the ring. But when it comes to national television and just star presence and just, you know, people are going to, I think with Moose coming out, people will stop and watch, see, check him out, see what he's going to do. And he's a good athlete and I think he's very talented. So, and he's a good promo as well. So I definitely, it's amazing to me. I think because of some background stuff way in the past, but I just think, God, I'm surprised he's never been on national television. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was he used in AEW during the, no, it was all in Impact, but they think they did stuff.
Yeah,
he never was actually featured on AEW, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So yeah, so I'm going with Moose and whatever stuff in the past, whatever that was, I don't know what it was. I'm sure I'll be fine. Just kidding.
All right, I'll tell you folks who are out there who we have not mentioned. There's like great, you can create an entire wrestling federation with folks we haven't mentioned. We haven't mentioned Pac. We haven't mentioned Darby Allin. Mm-hmm. We haven't mentioned Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla. Someone who I would be sneaky with if this draft was a little bit longer, Tiffany Stratton. I would change the promos, but
yeah,
I think she has an opportunity. Same with Raquel. We haven't mentioned Becky Lynch, who's a giant star right now, and she would have been her and Toni Storm would have been next on my list of women's wrestlers. We haven't mentioned someone like Big E. Now, I think I would have had Big E probably around right after Kenny Omega area if I knew he was going to wrestle again. But I think that's a worry, is whether or not he'll wrestle again. We haven't mentioned Kevin Owens. We haven't mentioned Eddie Kingston. We haven't mentioned Filthy Tom. Miro is out there. Malakai Black is out there. So my next guy, I don't think you're going to draft him. I have to draft him because I have to stand on my own on this one. I've been such a fan of this guy, and I've constantly said, gosh, WWE doesn't know how to book him. Now, I'm not sure if Tony Khan is really understanding of how to book him, and maybe he's a little bit of a wild card here. He may have, he may have a little bit too much machismo here, and it may be, maybe a little bit of his downfall, but I'm going Andrade. I think it's a little high, but I want to make a point of, there is a Hispanic market here that is really giant for wrestling. And I think Andrade, if he had the year after NXT, like if we had this draft after his run in NXT, I think he would have probably been a top 10 pick for me. But unfortunately, his WWE main roster run wasn't great. His AEW stuff has been, I would say, been okay. I've been decently satisfied with it. It's a little bit up and down, but I still think that there's something in him. Now, my hope is that he just doesn't sabotage it. That would be a little bit of my worry.
Yeah, think he'll sabotage it though? You think so?
I mean, I hope not. But yeah. He's very vocal, right? Like, he's not afraid to talk. I like that part about him. But yeah, I just think he's something more than what the bookers have seen him for so far.
Okay. That's a good pick. I always liked Andrade as well. You and I were really high on him.
Yeah.
And especially at NXT, we loved his NXT run.
Yeah,
as champion, it was awesome. With Selena Vega. I think you got to hire Selena Vega as well. That would be
fantastic. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
You definitely got to put her back, Jose. You might keep that package, Jose, but with Selena Vega, Jose's the butler, whatever it is,
Just so he could take bumps.
He just can't. Yeah. But I want to have him with the iPad. That's just silly, but I would definitely reunite them.
So I will say, Sammy Guevara is not going to make my list, but it was either going to be Sammy or Andrade. I'm not super happy with Sammy's wrestling style right now. I think he's gone overboard on the high spots. I think he's really special when he doesn't overdo it with the high spots, but I think he just knows that that's where the crowd reaction is, so he goes over and above the high spot stuff. I would pull him back a little bit because he is very young as well. But it was between him and Andrade, and I just went with Andrade because I think, I just like him a little bit better, but Guevara is there, and I think you pull Guevara back a little bit and focus him. I think he's still got a ton of potential.
Yeah. I think so too. All right. So my pick next, right?
Obviously. Yeah, 15.
All right. So I don't know if I can pick him because I think he might be contract New Japan. So it might, and he lives in Japan. So this might not count. So I'm gonna quickly throw out Jeff Cobb. I think he's disqualified, right, from this list.
I would probably disqualify him.
Yeah.
I thought about him as well. I would have been right in this range. I would have probably actually gone ahead of Swerve with Jeff.
I mean, if I have like a little, I had a little asterisk next to his name just to ask you about this. I was going to ask you off air, but I said, no, it'll be a fun discussion to talk about this.
No, yeah. Like, I literally wrote it down. I was like, I just put Jeff Cobb question mark on this thing.
But as you, just like Okada, he wouldn't be available on a regular basis, right? So we can draw. Okay. So 15 and 16, I'm going to use these two picks as some serious dark horses.
Mm, there you go. I like it.
Just to, I'm going to go with a guy from Germany. I think I can get relocate to the United States. he's the guy that really got me really interested in WXW in Germany. He was the champion for a while, and he was off the shows for a while after he lost the belt. He came back for the 16 karat gold. But man, this guy is everything I like. Has that fighter ability. He can wrestle. He can do submissions. He has a great look. He speaks fluent German, but his promos are so great with subtitles. It's charismatic as hell. His name is Marius Al-Ani. So I'm going to take him as my dark horse, one of my dark horse picks.
I won't lie and say he was next on my list. but no, I like it. The variety, it's kind of, in a way, it's a little bit of a flex because a lot of people just went, who in the hell is this guy talking about?
Look him up.
But what it shows is that you watch stuff. You're not watching only AEW and the random WWE shows. You're watching other stuff, so you know some of these guys, and that's what makes you valuable in drafting is because you know some of these guys who are, you know, not well known because you're watching so much wrestling. Okay, how do you spell his name?
I'll spell it right now. It's MARIUS, then capital AL hyphen capital ANI.
All right. I'm looking at this guy. Bald head. Tattoos.
Jacked.
Jacked to the gills.
But he's fantastic.
All right.
He's really good. And he's, like I said, he's the guy that, if you go on Twitter, he retweets a lot of my stuff. And I was talking about WXW.
There you go. Cool.
But he's really talented. I don't know if anyone has, you know, their streaming service, but there's stuff on a lot of older stuff that's on YouTube and whatnot. So I'm sure there's people that know how to find stuff. I don't go on the dark web to watch wrestling, but a lot of people do. It just scares the hell out of me. But
all right, this is a value pick because I will use my last pick to go with a youngster. But this next pick I'm going to use as a value pick, and I'll tell you the thought process here. I think there are three guys who are very valuable to have on any wrestling roster. One of them is Malakai Black. The next one is Miro. And the third one is Kevin Owens.
Mm.
Now, I'm trying to look at it from a versatility perspective because you're going to need folks who can kind of slide into different roles and how many things have they done? How many times have they been babyface and heel? Like, how flexible are they? Can they go cut a promo if you need somebody to cut a promo? And that's why I'm going to lean Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
He's been, I think his 2022, he's kind of shown the wide range of what WWE asks him to do. When Stone Cold Steve Austin, in his 60s, makes a comeback, who do they go, if he's going to be in a match, this is who we want him to be in a match with? It's Kevin Owens. Who do we want to be able to handle all of the promotion for this match? Because Stone Cold is only going to cut one promo on his iPhone. It's Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And then I was so frustrated by his post-WrestleMania thing. And so many people enjoy him with this Ezekiel stuff, which I don't really like, but I understand the campiness of it and I understand why they like it. It's not really because Ezekiel is this great character, right? It's because of Kevin Owens' reactions to Ezekiel that really makes this work. So when it comes to just the utility knife of the company, I go Kevin Owens here at number 15, which allows me to now go, sort of take a really young guy at number 16.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick. I like Kevin Owens. I thought he did a great job with Austin. That was probably my favorite thing at WrestleMania this year. And the post WrestleMania story they had was really, really frustrating for me. So no, I like that pick. Great pick.
All right. Last pick for you,
man. I mean, it's pretty tough because I was thinking like there's so many guys on the table. Like we can start three promotions.
Absolutely. If you're, so much talent in wrestling.
So I'm going to go with a guy that I've been champion for a while. And a guy that just, man, it drives me insane that WWE hasn't done nothing with this guy. He is overseas. He's in NXT UK. But he can talk. He can work. And he has a great, tremendous look. And then I mentioned he talks so well. His name is Sam Gradwell. The Thunderstorm, is what he calls him. I would use him as a heel first, like they did in NXT UK. Not sure in babyface, but God, I feel like he's one of those guys that could get over with any crowd, US, UK, with that great accent and his catchphrases. He calls people yogurts. Like, I think that would just get over. I think he could be an Austin-level guy. I know he kind of looks like Austin because he's the bald head and everything. They cut off his little, those little shark fin deal that he had on his hair, and he did like a lost a hair match or whatever they shaved, or I think they just shaved his head like some heels did. I would let him grow that thing back because it was so unique and different. So you know what WWE does a lot of times. They take people's uniqueness away for some damn reason. And I would have him grow that back. And it's a dark horse as well because I think a lot of people probably listening back don't even watch NXT UK. But if you do and you know him, he's really talented. So I could definitely build that guy up for the future, in my opinion.
I could fake it and say that I have a lot of positives and negatives about Sam Gradwell, but I don't. I don't watch NXT UK, so I don't have a ton to say about him. But all right, that leaves me. Now I'm going to read through the folks who are available. Takeshita, Britt Baker, Pac, Orange Cassidy, Hook, Darby Allin, Daniel Garcia, young guys who could be pillars to your promotion. Obviously, I mentioned Chris Jericho already. Raquel, the fact that Becky Lynch hasn't been drafted just kind of tells me how poor her run has been in late 2021 and sort of throughout 2022. I know that she still could be the Becky Lynch that we remember, but I think they ruined her character a little bit. Mm. Asuka, I really wanted to pick Asuka at some point, and she would probably be on my roster as sort of the next wave of women. Somebody who I would 100% pick at this pick if he wrestled. If I could get him in the ring more than twice a year, and you know how long it took this guy to grow on me, and that's Pat McAfee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great one.
But I'm not going to pick him.
Oh.
He's there, though. He's in the mix. If he could guarantee me 10 matches a year, I think I would have taken him. But he's only, he's wrestled the once against Austin Theory.
I think it's about Pat McAfee.
And he's going to wrestle once against Baron Corbin, so that'll be two. There's Ricochet, who WWE hasn't done a great job with. There's Jungle Boy, who if we did this thing 2 years ago, he would definitely be in our young wrestler list. There's Eddie Kingston, who's doing fantastic stuff in AEW right now. But my pick here is going to be somebody that is probably not really on the radar because he's kind of stuck in NXT. I really like him though, and I would bring the act. I would bring the full act. You know how much I love Trick Daddy.
Uh-huh.
It's Carmelo Hayes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think he's got something now in my Fight Game Media Federation. It's not necessarily going to be just giant human beings, who mm-hmm. can wrestle here. That's my worry about him with WWE is by the time, Vince is like, okay, what's up with this guy, Carmelo Hayes? And then he sees the size of this guy. He's going to go, oh, wait, you're talking about the tall guy, right? And they're like, no, Carmelo Hayes, the smaller guy. And he's like, no, I like the tall guy. And then, you know, Trick Daddy Williams is going to get in the ring, and Vince is going to be like, all right, we got to get him on TV. And then, you know, that's going to be the end of it. So, but yeah, Carmelo Hayes with if I could bring in Trick Daddy Williams, that would be great for my last pick there.
Yeah, you gotta have Trick Williams with him, right? That has to be it. Yeah. You have to. Oh, there's some people we can. I mean, 16 wrestlers to start with. You know, it's a good start. But if we have a national television program, they probably want us to have 2 hours, right?
Like, yeah.
Right? So we're gonna have to have a, you know, might be 32 singles wrestlers or something. But.
All right, we're gonna go through the tag teams really quick because you know we're 80 minutes in here, and we like to be done after 90 minutes. I'll just repeat the lists. I'll go John and then me. So it was here's the 32 people who were drafted: MJF, Roman Reigns, Bryan Danielson, Hangman Page, Walter, John Moxley, Braun Breaker, Will Ospreay, Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Austin Theory, Sasha Banks, Wardlow, Kenny Omega, Ricky Starks, Jade Cargill, Drew McIntyre, Bianca Belair, Randy Orton, Riddle, Matt Riddle, Will Hobbs, Rhea Ripley, AJ Styles, Swerve Strickland, Moose, Andrade, Marius Al-Ani, Kevin Owens, Sam Gradwell, and Carmelo Hayes. There's tons of really great wrestlers left in this list. But that is our top 32, 16 each. All right, quickly, this should be quick. Since you had the first pick, I'll take the first pick of the tag teams.
Yeah, and of course.
I really wanted to go, I'll tell you, I really wanted to go Street Profits here just because I think that they still have something. I don't think... I think they're being used pretty well, but and it could be that I just like them more than others. But I don't think I can pass up FTR at this point. Like, they're just at another level. So I'm gonna go FTR with my first pick, even though I think, you know, if FTR wasn't on this crazy run, I might have gone Street Profits, even in front of the Young Bucks. But I know that I could get the Young Bucks in the end, because I know you don't like the Young Bucks very much. So I wouldn't have to track them.
Yeah, they're not on my list. Damn it. That was my first. I had a feeling they were going to be there, but
yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with the Briscoe Brothers. They haven't been exposed on national television yet, and they're so damn good.
Yep.
And they're great characters, so I'm going with the Briscoes.
Yep, that's 100%. I would probably have gone next with them just because I want to see that feud happen again. Even though I said that I could probably get the Bucks later, I'm just going to pick them because I think their value, which is with the majority of the AEW fan base, I still enjoy their act. I know you don't like the heel version of the Young Bucks. I still think that they're worthy of the number two pick, so I'll pick them. But I'm interested to see who your next pick is, because I have the next guys who I'm hoping you don't take to feud with the Young Bucks. But go ahead.
Oh, well, you know I have Walter, right?
Yeah.
So I got to go with Imperium. Fabian Aichner, not Giovanni Ricci, whatever his name is they're going with now. But Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel, I think they were a great tag team, and I want to keep the act together with Imperium. So,
all right. That leaves me with the Usos. I have Roman. Makes sense to have the brothers. I want to see the Usos and the Young Bucks. Like, that would be my Forbidden Door tag team match.
Yeah.
Because I think the Usos, you know, they've been a tag team for so long. And I know, I'm not saying they're overrated or underrated. I just think they're... current run, you know, last couple years with Roman, they've proven that you know that they are worthy of being one of the best tag teams in wrestling. So I really enjoy them.
Yeah, awesome. All right, next for me is going to be, ooh, man, you took my top team, which is FTR. next for me is going to be from NXT UK, and it's kind of a cheat because I get three guys with this group. You know, I think they're breaking up soon. Gallus, which is Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang. So they're I want like a big tough guy tag team, and they're great. They're a great six man tag.
No, that works. You're gonna be good with those guys because I'm not a watcher of NXT or UK. But now is where I can take my Street Profits, like I mentioned, and I'll take them with the next pick. I just think, some of it might simply be that I just want Montez Ford whenever we decide to turn him single. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's something there with him. I don't know if he'll ever reach it as a single, but I like the idea of him and his wife being on the same roster. I think you can do more. I think they should do more with them, a little bit more synergy with the two of them. I think you could really market them as, you know, like, you know, whatever you want to market them as, but she's so good. Maybe she overshadows him a little bit, but I still think that there's something there.
Yeah, no, I think they're on my list too, but man, you're killing him on these tag teams. Next up for me, I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm gonna go with the Acclaimed. I think there's definitely something there with Max Caster and gosh, I feel bad. I forgot his name right now. I don't know why. How did I forget his name? What's his partner's name?
Anthony
Bowens.
Anthony Bowens.
Yeah, I liked them. I think is there a project still? But I like that. They're getting some good young guys, so I'm taking them.
All right, I'm not taking the Lucha Bros because I know you will not take them as well.
No.
I think I'm going to go with the New Day. Now, this version of the New Day without Big E is not the best version of New Day to me. I like them as a threesome. Unfortunately, we don't know what's going on with Big E. But the thing that the reason why I take them is because they have so much equity with the pro wrestling fan base, because they were able to take this gimmick, which was meant to be garbage, and really do something with it. I think there's a value in that. And look, you know, they've been attacked. You know, that they've done stuff with the Usos before. They could do stuff with the Street Profits. I would love to. They of course want to work with the Young Bucks. That's been talked about for years and years, so I get that match, which has kind of been like a dream match. So I think it's a really safe pick at number five for New Day.
Yeah, that's it's a really good pick. And my next pick's gonna be totally out of left field. Like, I'm picking America Alpha.
Oh wow, you're bringing them back?
Not necessarily. I'm definitely bringing back Chad Gable. And I'm partnering him up with unfortunately not Jason Jordan, because he is hurt. He's out of wrestling. He's not out of wrestling. He's a producer of some sort, right?
You're bringing 50-year-old Kurt back?
No.
Okay.
A young guy on the East Coast Indies who looks like a cross between Ken Shamrock, Paul Roma, great body, from New Jersey. His name is Ray Jazz. And he has a really strong amateur credentials, so he fits right in. And they're going to be baby faces at first, but Ray Jazz does play a great douchebag, and Chad Gable plays a great heel as well. You can definitely go that route later on. But right now, they'll be just great baby faces.
All right. We have some teams left over. I'll name some of them. Good Brothers, if you're a fan of New Japan and Impact, and a fan of masturbation humor. Lucha Bros, like I said, who probably should be picked, but the reason I'm not taking them is because I know I could get them at any time because they're not on John's list. Santana and Ortiz, who may be on the verge of breaking up anyways, because supposedly they're not friends, or they're not fans of each other these days. I don't know why. I'm not exactly sure why. Mm-hmm. Not doing anything with the Hardys. That is hopefully said and done with, and Jeff can kind of fix some of the things that's going on. There's a Red Dragon out there. You could go a young team like the Ass Boys, the Gun Club.
They didn't make my list, but they're on my alternative list for sure.
Instead, I'm gonna go with a team that needs to be sort of tamed a little bit. They need to be schooled a little bit. They need to be put in the ring with some guys who could kind of hold them down a little bit. But the Creed brothers, I think they have tons of potential. I don't know. They're a little bit reckless at NXT, and I wonder why. It seems like folks are okay with that, you know, with the recklessness. I thought that they would sort of tame them down a little bit, but it doesn't seem like they have. But I would kind of tame them down a little bit and just be like, hey, like, you don't have to do all of this crazy stuff. Like, if you do it one thing, it's going to work. And let's not hurt anybody as well as hurt each other, yourselves. But I still think there's tons of potential in the Creed brothers.
Oh, yeah. They were on my alternative list, too. I was like, gosh, I was really wanting to pick them, but I couldn't pass up to my last team. And my last team, they're from NXT UK, but now they're NXT now 2.0. I love these guys. They're so outrageous, pretty deadly. Two big young kids, great looks, great, good workers, good talents, great bumpers. And I love these guys, so I'm definitely I gotta have them on a roster.
There you go. All right, tag teams. I took FTR. John went Briscoes. I took the Bucks. John went Imperium. I took the Usos. John went Gallus. I got the Street Profits. John went with the Acclaimed. I took the New Day. John took this sort of cheating creation of American Alpha.
Not cheating.
And then I took the Creed Brothers. He took Pretty Deadly. So there we go. We're done with the draft. Maybe we'll do this again next year and see how things have changed.
Who's
for
moved
us,
up? Who's moved down?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we could do it again. But we went. We went a little long. Not, you know, about a minute and a half longer than I wanted. But that's not bad, especially because we've never done this before. But next week we will be back talking Dynamite and the normal show that we do. Appreciate everybody sort of having patience with us as we did these more evergreen shows and not covering Dynamite like we have been because I'm out of town. But yeah, so we'll be back next week for John. I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.